Thank you, Mr. Andy Seeker. And good morning to everyone. I especially like to welcome our guests as well. I can see they're not easily discouraged because they came back after last week. We'll find out if they're how hard they are to discourage after this start today. But we certainly welcome you and are very appreciative that you have come to celebrate the Sabbath day with us as we worship the eternal God. This will be my first impromptu sermonette. If I get through that, then we will have an impromptu sermon. Being that this is the season of the year of Pentecost, I thought that I would explain a little bit in the sermonette about Pentecost. One of the meanings, and I am sort of ruminating in my brain here a little bit for the sermon, but one of the meanings that I'll explain now having to do with Pentecost is about first fruits. Pentecost is known by one name as first fruits. We also call Pentecost Pentecost because today is the 49th day since the Sunday during the days of unleavened bread. Pentecost means the count of 50 or the 50th day. And beginning in the days of unleavened bread, on Sunday, the instruction that's given to us in Leviticus 23, and we'll read that instruction during the sermon. We won't read it now. It says that you will number 7 Sabbaths from that Sabbath during the days of unleavened bread. That's 49 days. And then on the morrow after that Sabbath, the 50th day, will be the day of Pentecost. Count 50. Yeah, and that's what we've been doing now for 7 weeks. We've been counting from that Sabbath until today is the 7th Sabbath, 49 days. Tomorrow will be the 50th day. So that's one of the names for Pentecost. First fruits is another name for Pentecost. And so let's focus a little bit more now during this sermonette. And for our visitors, the sermonette normally is supposed to last between 12 and 15 minutes, supposed to motivate the audience a little bit, get them involved in what we're doing, and not get too deep into too many messages. It should be 12 to 15 minutes. So we'll see if I can do that as an impromptu. I would like to explain to you something about the day, this time of first fruits. Now, there is an instruction. I'm going to focus on this instruction for the sermonette, which came to pass last night at the house of the Holloways. We were at the Holloway house, and I was sitting there. I thought it's a little bit early in the year, but Mason and Jackson, our two grandsons, brought to me a bag with some very beautifully prepared, cleaned, already nice spinach that they had already harvested out of their garden. Now, some of the earliest fruit that a person would remove from the garden would be called a first fruit. It doesn't have to be the very first, but some of the nicest. And a small amount might be taken to the priest. At least in the Old Testament, the priest. And today, to the ministry, or we often have them take it to one of the widows. Let's read what it says about that, because we didn't make up the custom ourselves. in Deuteronomy, the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 26. So, Ethan, if you're going to have a garden and you have some first fruits, then you could practice this as well. And everybody can practice it. Caption in my Bible, which is an NIV study Bible, says first fruits and tithes. So Deuteronomy chapter 26, starting in verse 1. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, refers, of course, to the Old Testament Israelites as they were planning to, and the book of Deuteronomy is the restating of the law before they entered into the land. This was not a custom that they would have practiced in the 40 years of wandering in the desert. Why not? Well, they didn't plant. You know, they didn't plant and harvest at that time. But the time that they're going to cross the Jordan River and go into the land of Canaan, which is the promised land, they were given this instruction. So, it says, when you have entered the land, which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance. Now, that was prototypical of what we in God's New Testament church are doing. We have been called to enter into the kingdom of God. And so entering into the land was just a physical example of what was ultimately going to come to pass. They were going to enter into that physical land. You and I have been called to enter into the kingdom of God at the return of Jesus Christ. It says, when you go into that land, have taken possession of it, settle in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land the Lord your God has given you, put them in a basket. You see, they didn't understand why they were to do this, because they didn't understand what the ultimate fulfillment had to do with the first fruits that God was calling, which the Bible calls us in the New Testament God's first fruits. Put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today, this is what they were to recite. And a couple of years ago, I think it was, we had Jackson go. I think Mason was going as well, but Jackson was able to recite at least imperfectly what is being said here. And say to the priest in office in the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. Now the Israelites, as they were entering into the promised land, they were instructed once they were in the promised land to plant, and they're planting and harvesting, then to take some of the first of the produce, put it in a basket, take to the priest, and say, this is the importance of why they were doing it. I declare today to the Lord your God, I have come to the land the Lord swore to our forefathers to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands, set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Armenian. He went down into Egypt with a few people, lived there, and became a great nation. Who is the nation of God today? Well, Paul says in the book of Galatians, that we are the Israel of God. See, there are two Israels. There was the physical Israel, which was a physical example of a physical fulfillment. But there was a spiritual Israel, which was to come. And the spiritual Israel began, interestingly enough, on the day of Pentecost. Because that is the day God gave His Holy Spirit and founded the church. That relates to first fruits. Went down to Egypt with a few people and lived there, became a great nation, powerful and numerous. We haven't become all that numerous, but comparatively speaking, to some of the past times, the Sabbath-keeping churches of God have become quite a bit more numerous than they were. The Egyptians mistreated us, and symbolically, the Egyptians are the world around us. You know, there was a physical Egypt, and there's a spiritual Egypt. And made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. We cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery and toil and oppression. All of this is being said with the first fruits in front of the altar, in the basket. We cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice, saw our misery, toil, and oppression. The Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Prophetic. You see, this is prophetic. Because God is going to bring His people out of this world in a mighty way. It's prophetic. We haven't seen it yet, but we will see it. With great terror, miraculous signs and wonders, He brought us to this place, gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Again, the land flowing with milk and honey that the Israelites inherited, a physical land, is to picture what the kingdom of God will be like. It was a physical example in a physical way of what a spiritual land, the kingdom of God, is going to be like. And the kingdom of God will be, a time, a period, a fulfillment in such a way that all of mankind is going to understand and profit from, all of the abundance that God will bring about on the face of the earth. It will be truly a time worldwide of milk and honey for all of mankind, which mankind has not seen since the days of the Garden of Eden. For a little while, a small nation, relatively speaking, a people, the Israelites saw it in the land of Canaan. But we're going to see it in the kingdom of God. And that's what we celebrate when we come to the Feast of Tabernacles. I now bring the first fruits of the soil that you, O Lord, have given me. And so as we do it, we're not celebrating as they were, the physical abundance that came out of the soil there in the land of Canaan. We're looking forward to the coming of the kingdom of God when all of mankind is going to experience this abundance, which you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God. Bow down before Him. You and the Levites and the aliens among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and to your household. And so that is what we might think of as a ritual of what to do whenever you start to harvest things from the land. And I hope I have put a little bit of understanding into why it's done, and also giving you a little bit of knowledge about the meaning of Pentecost. When I come back for the sermon, I'll try to give you some more.